Holmes & Hops is proudly supported by Platt Insurance, your local independent insurance agency offering auto, home, life, business, and farm insurance. We also have a team of specialists that can help you with insuring your brewery or winery. Platt Insurance, helping you protect your tomorrows. For more information or quote, please call us at 330-856-6244 or visit us on our website at www.plattinsurance.com.
Hey guys, this is Justin Coffin for the 330 Sports Show. Today is Tuesday, January 18th, 2022. First, we're going to do our wine and gold check-in with the Cleveland Cavaliers. They have been playing some great basketball lately, so we're going to check in with what they are up to. We're also going to check in with the Super Wild Card weekend and do a little recap. Our picks from last week's Thursday show really hit. So far, we're 4 out of 5 on the time of this recording, with the Rams and the Cardinals still to kick off. We're recording this Monday night for Tuesday's show. We are brought to you by Platt Insurance, Penguin City Beer, and Sweeney Buick GMC. Here's what's going to be on the show today. We are going to feature an interview with Todd Berkey that I did last week. Todd is the strength and conditioning coach for China's women's hockey team. So right now he is in about 2 hours outside of Beijing in the mountains by the Chinese training facility. He told me he could actually see the Great Wall of China from their training facility. Todd has previously been the strength and conditioning coach for all 18 of Youngstown State's men and women's sports. He'll give you a little bit of background about his history, and pictured are his family, wife Justine, daughters Kaylin and Reagan. I was lucky enough to coach Reagan, great athlete. She runs track and cross country at Bowling Green. Kaylin is a volleyball player at Cal in Pennsylvania, and they're both doing great things. And Justine is a teacher at Boardman High School. So that is coming up in just about 5 minutes here with our interview. I also want to give a quick shout out to the Canfield Rotary. They were the beneficiary of our Pick'em Challenge. So we were able to donate a $550 check to the Canfield Rotary Club from our 330 Sports Show's Pick'em for Charity, and you know, all of our different podcasters and friends of the show that were participated in that. So that was a lot of fun and benefited a great cause. So I wanted to give the Canfield Rotary Club a shout out. Today is the date of this recording, January 17th. Again, the show is going to be shown on January 18th, but on this day, 21 years ago, Ohio State hires head coach Jim Tressel. Jim Tressel leaves YSU, comes down to Ohio State, and does amazing things. In his time with Ohio State, the Buckeyes were 106-22. They were the 2002 national championship team, beating the Miami Hurricanes in maybe one of the best teams of all time that they were able to beat in that game. They also made it to the 2006 and 2007 BCS National Championship game. And maybe the most impressive thing on his record was the 9-1 record versus Michigan, which, you know, the rivalry was not going our way when Jim Tressel took over, and he made that a major priority. And, you know, obviously we had the loss this past season to Michigan, but the trend has really tilted towards Ohio State's favor, and that is in major part due to Jim Tressel taking over as head coach in 2001. So Jim, or Coach Tressel, President Tressel now at Youngstown State, has been a guest on the show, hoping next year or this coming fall to get him on another episode where we have a couple special guests planned for that show in the fall. So we'll talk to you about that at a later date. Also, want to preview an interview we're going to do on Thursday. Danielle Vuletic is a basketball player, a center with Robert Morris University, fairly heavily scouted player out of Western Reserve, also played a little bit at South Range. I was able to coach against her a little bit in my time and just see what a great kid she was and a fantastic athlete. She's just a really good person too. But she plays basketball at Robert Morris University. That's basically right by the Pittsburgh airport. And she's going to join us on Thursday, tell us a little bit about her journey and what it's been like transitioning from high school basketball to college basketball. Let's do our wine and gold check-in with the Cleveland Cavaliers. So currently, and I'm recording this at about 7 o'clock on Monday night on Martin Luther King Day. The Cavs just knocked off the Brooklyn Nets, 114-107, really, really tight game all the way in, but a very entertaining game. This was just after the Cavs completed a 6-game West Coast road trip in which they went 5-1 on. They beat Portland, Sacramento, Utah, San Antonio, and OKC. They were actually down by 18 points at OKC and came back to win. Their only blemish on that trip was to Golden State, but no harm there. 5-1 is a great trip. I don't care if you're the best team in the league or who you are, but 5-1, anytime you can go out west, you will take that. And again, Monday afternoon, they knocked off the Brooklyn Nets, one of the best teams in the East. Darius Garland, about 2 hours ago, was just named the Eastern Conference Player of the Month, or excuse me, of the week. I mistyped that, but of the week. But he averaged last week 20.5 points a game, 12.8 assists, 6 rebounds, and 1 steal per game. He had his first career triple-double against Utah and a career-high 18 assists against Oklahoma City the other night. Listen to this stat. He created, assist, or scored on 65 points in that Cavs game in 36 minutes of play in that 107. So 65 of their 107 points, which is quick math, roughly about 63-64% of their production over OKC. So on the season, he's averaging nearly 20 points a game, 19.3 points a game, 3.5 rebounds, 7.8 assists, 1.3 steals a game, and he is in line to be the Cavs representative for the All-Star game, which is in Cleveland this year. Also, Evan Mobley, this rookie is an absolute stud, doing things that Cavs rookies really haven't done since LeBron James, and really even before that ever. So he is the only rookie to be on this list, but this season, out of all the players in the NBA, he is one of three that average 14 points or more, a 50% field goal percentage or more, 8 rebounds or more, and 1.5 blocks per game or more. Only Giannis, Rudy Gobert, and Evan Mobley are on that list. So pretty great list to be on. 15 points, 8 rebounds, 2.7 assists, 1.7 blocks, and nearly 51% shooting percentage on the season. Jared Allen, another guy that probably should be on the All-Star team, arguably could be an All-NBA selection if he keeps this up with Rudy Gobert, with Jokic out in Denver, maybe a few others on that list, but he is on a very short list to be in the top five at his position in the NBA this year. 16.5 points a game, 11 rebounds, nearly 2 assists, 1 steal, 1.5 blocks. And that field goal percentage finally slipped under the 70%, but he's still shooting at 69.4% on the season. Kevin Love, again, really doing a nice job off the bench. 14 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, and shooting nearly 41% from the three-point line this season and being an excellent teammate, which is all we're going to ask of Kevin Love. And then here's a real quick did you know with the Cleveland Cavaliers, Darius Garland on Saturday, 27 points, 18 assists, 5 rebounds, became the 6th player in Cavaliers history to have 25 or more points, 15 or more assists in a single game. So only the 6th player to do that in Cleveland Cavaliers history. LeBron did it 8 times, which tells you just how amazing that guy is. Andre Miller, very underrated, great guard from the mid-90s for the Cavs, did it 3 times. Terrell Brandon, a great player for the Cavs back in the 90s, did it once. John Johnson, Bobby Washington, and now Darius Garland are the other guys on that list. Check in on the Eastern Conference standings. Chicago Bulls, who the Cavs play next, so they have a chance to inch even closer to the Chicago Bulls, are sitting at 27-15. Miami Heat right behind them on their heels. Brooklyn, who the Cavs just beat, are in the 3rd seed. Cavs inch up to the 4th seed at 27-18. So if you look at the top 5 seeds in the East, they all have 27 wins, which is pretty awesome. Cavs have the same record as the world champion Milwaukee Bucks, sitting at 27-18, and the Cavs are on a 5-game winning streak. So hopefully they can extend that to 6 and keep inching up the ladder in the Eastern Conference. They are a dangerous, dangerous team that not many teams want to play right now. All right, let's switch to NFL football from this past weekend. Now, again, I'm recording this on Monday night, so I will not have the result of the Arizona and LA game. But we put out our bets and our predictions for this weekend. So our first game, the Bengals and Raiders. Bengals win it 26-19. Joe Burrow in his first playoff game impresses. Ja'Marr Chase, Bengals defense do a nice job. They cover the 5.5-point spread. So we go 1-1 in that game, 1-1 in that game. Our only miss of the weekend, and it was a bad miss. I picked the Patriots to cover, getting 4 points. The Bills just dominated this game from the opening, kickoff. I think they scored on their first 4 possessions, and the Patriots had no shot in this game. So the Bills win in frigid temperatures. I think it was like 6 or 7 degrees at kickoff, -5 wind chill, but the Bills just dominate 47-17. Josh Allen with a great game and great performance overall by the entire Buffalo Bills team. So that was our one loss this weekend with our predictions. The next day on Sunday, the Eagles and Buccaneers, the Eagles had no shot in this game. Buccaneers were actually up 31-0. Eagles come back to make it look closer than it was, but the Buccaneers cover easily the 8.5-point spread and move on as defending champs. Our third win, we go 3-4, the Cowboys and the 49ers in obviously probably the craziest game of the weekend. Dallas, just too many self-inflicted wounds to win this game, but the 49ers came out, give them credit instead of blaming Dallas, but the 49ers come out and just dominate, especially early. The Cowboys made a late push, but were not able to get back in the game, and we all know the last play of the game, Dak scrambles up the middle, 14-15-yard run, slides, and was not able to spike it in time. They were at San Francisco's 20-yard line, and snapped the ball, but was not able to get it spiked before the time ran out. 49ers 23, Cowboys 17. 49ers cover and win straight up while they were getting 3 points in that game. So we went 3-4 there. And then 4-5, we say goodbye to Big Ben. We say goodbye to the Pittsburgh Steelers on the year. And the Chiefs, we knew, blew them out a couple weeks ago. Steelers actually go up after a bunch of punts early on and an interception by Mahomes early on. You know, the Steelers went up 7-0 in this game. And it really, the first half was going great for the Steelers until the final few minutes. And then the Chiefs just poured it on, went up 21-7 and just never looked back. The Chiefs win this game 42-21. You know, I know I'm a Browns fan. I know this is a Browns podcast for the most part, but credit to the Steelers for even getting into the playoffs. No one expected that this year. I did actually think the Steelers were going to get a wild card, but after the way I saw them play this year, they really just mucked up a lot of games and got in and won ugly. So credit to Tomlin. I think Mike Tomlin is a fantastic football coach, but But KC just knows how to get the job done right now. They win, they move on, looking to make their third straight Super Bowl and fourth straight AFC Championship game. So Kansas City moves on. Pittsburgh eliminated. We say goodbye to Big Ben, and we will see what the Steelers attempt to do at the quarterback position going forward next year. And then again, tonight's game, I apologize, at the time I'm recording this, the game will not kick off till for about another hour, but Cardinals and Rams, I am laying the points with the Rams. I think it's down to 3.5 now, but I'll take it at the 4 when I saw it. So I like the Rams to win by 4 or more in this game. So here's what we're looking at with our matchups. We have the Titans taking on the Bengals. We have the Chiefs taking on the Bills. And we will have the Packers and the 49ers. And then the Buccaneers will face the winner of the Rams and Cardinals game. So great, great, you know, playoff matchups ahead next week. We're down to the final 8, the Elite 8, whatever you want to call it, the final 4 in each conference. And should be a lot of fun. You got the 1, 2, 3, and 4 seeds left in the AFC, and 1 and 2 advance in the NFC, with the 49ers upsetting the Cowboys. And then we'll see what happens with the Rams and Cardinals tonight. So with that said, we are going to have a quick word from our sponsor, then get to our interview with Todd Berkey.
Sweeney is your General Motors lease return headquarters. No matter where you bought your GM vehicle, we accept all Buick, Cadillac, Chevrolet, and GMC lease returns. Free of judgment, free of hassle, with no questions asked. Safely and securely. Now it's even better. If we buy your car, we'll cut you a check for $2,000 whether you purchased it at Sweeney or not. Plus, we'll waive your disposition fee. Click SweeneyCars.com or stop by Sweeney Chevrolet Buick GMC on Market Street in Boardman. Sweeney.
Hey guys, this is Justin Coffin for the 330 Sports Show. Joining me from literally all the way across the world, we have a special guest, Todd Berkey, who is coming to us from somewhere in China. I'll let him disclose his location here in a minute, but he is the strength and conditioning coach for the Chinese women's national hockey team. So Todd, I'm drinking coffee over here, so good morning to anyone that's watching in the morning, but it's evening over there. So Todd, first of all, how you doing? And you know, tell us where you're at and all that good stuff.
Yeah, I'm doing well. Thanks for reaching out and doing this first. It's always fun to hear familiar voices, because it's been so long now since I've been back at home.
I'm sure.
Yeah, right now, well, I'm in a city called Tianjin, which is about 2 hours east of Beijing. It's in the mountains. There's a Olympic training facility here, and that's where we've been stationed for the last 21 days. And we'll be here until we leave to go to the Olympic Village on, I think we report there on January 27th.
Okay, great.
So we're in the mountains, a bit of a quarantine type of a thing, because we had been in Russia for 5 months. And China has some very strict rules on, returning or entering the country as far as COVID rules go. So when we came back from Russia, we had to come, obviously 2 hours away from Beijing, yeah, where we're going to play the games, to quarantine now. So we're in the mountains. They're literally in the mountains. There's mountains all around us. There's nobody else here. There's just the staff from the facility and us. In quarantined, as in you're in your room, and we can go to the practice rink, and we can go to the weight training facility, and then we're right back in our rooms.
Oh, wow. Okay. So a very, I guess my next question was going to be, take us through a typical day, but it sounds like they're all very similar. You're getting to the rink, you're working out, and you're going back to your room. Does that sound about right?
That sounds about right. Yeah. Here, you know, we've moved around. We were centered in Moscow for the first 5 months, but we did travel from there and played in different cities. Since we've come back to China, we've been just here in Tianjin. So typical day, 8 o'clock, you get up, temperature check. That's part of their quarantine protocol. Temperature check, eat some breakfast. We go to the rink about 9. We're there till around noon. Come back straight to your room, another temperature check, have a couple hours break, and then we go to the weightlifting in the afternoon for a couple hours. Come back, another temperature check, and then we did, I've had a PCR test every day for the last 25 days.
Wow.
And so that's our normal routine. And then in the evenings, we're in our rooms, you know, separate from each other now. And, you know, so that gets a little lonely at times, I guess. That's why it's good to hear a familiar voice now. You know, we've gotten to know each other very well. We've been around each other 24/7 for the last five and a half months. So, but yeah, it's just about there. The Olympics aren't far away. Which is, it's exciting. And you can feel the excitement kind of build around, you know, what we've been doing for 5 months.
Absolutely. And just the word Olympics in and of itself, just like oozes excitement. You know, it's something that only happens every 4 years. You know, it's somewhere different around the world. So when you hear the word Olympics and you're going to be a part of it, What does that like conjure up for you? What does that make you think of or bring to your excitement level?
I guess when looking back, when I decided to take this opportunity, at first they were trying to say, hey, let's come over and work with the Olympic program. And eventually the selling point was, oh yeah, you're going to the Olympics with us. I'm like, okay. a small town boy from Greenford, Ohio, you know, worked in college athletics, high school athletics for a number of years, and then to all of a sudden be presented with the chance of, hey, you're going to the Olympics. You know, growing up, we watched it on TV. You hear the Olympic song and you see the rings come up, and you have Brian Gumbel talking about, you know, those things. So the prestige of it is awesome. But if you think of the scope, we're going to be competing on a world level. You know, I've gotten to meet, when we were in Russia, we played against some of the other national teams. So you get to see, you know, we're going to play, I think opening game, we play the Czech Republic. It was a pretty good hockey team. I think the second game we're scheduled to play Denmark. Third game, Japan, which is a huge game for the Chinese, you know, as a country. Mm-hmm. And then I think our final game then is against Sweden. So
okay. You know,
it's not like Boardman versus Fitch.
right. A little different rivalries here. Yeah, I would imagine Japan and China rivalry is probably pretty strong over there. So
yes.
So Todd, you were talking about, you know, when you first, you know, had this opportunity. How did this opportunity come about for you? I know you have previously been to China, but how did this whole opportunity unfold for you?
Opportunity started with a relationship that I developed with a graduate assistant at Youngstown State. He had come in, coming undergraduate from Michigan State. He came to us for the master's program, and it became pretty close with him. And he was always talking about wanting to bring me to China. You've got to come to China. And that's how I first came here. Maybe 4 years ago was the first time to visit. And then I did some lecturing at some of the universities in China, in Shanghai, Beijing, and developed a relationship with some of the other people. And they apparently liked me well enough because they invited me back. I came back a second time and I got to work with some of their Olympic athletes then, some of the basketball players there.
Okay.
And then it came down to it, my friend, he called and said, hey, I want to help you out because you always helped me out when I was at Youngstown. And he had become very close with our family. And you probably had seen him before at some of the basketball games and stuff.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so he that was the guy. And he was very determined for me to come come here. And then he was so excited when it finally came through that I was going to travel. Now, I was supposed to come here last November, a year ago, you know, a long time ago.
Oh, yeah.
Then COVID shut everything down. Mm-hmm. So it was all delayed. So I ended up coming here in June, finally. But that was a relationship that we developed together. And so, you know, we've grew pretty close as friends. And also, I was his mentor, I guess he calls me all the time.
Okay.
And so together we decided to take on this project. And it's gone very well for us so far. So I'm very fortunate to have been able to meet with him, you know, originally. For him to walk in the door not knowing anything about Youngstown and me not knowing much about China either, it's come a long way.
That's great. So almost basically your own version of an exchange student program. You're, you know, in a way, I guess, you know, maybe exchange professionals. So that's a great setup. That's really, really cool. So Todd, now anyone that knows the Berkey family from Boardman, Justine, Todd's wife, is a teacher at Boardman High School. And obviously he had two very athletic daughters who are now playing sports at the collegiate level, not just athletic, but also very intelligent young women. So Todd, obviously I know being away from family has to be one of the biggest challenges of this. So maybe talk a little bit about that and how, you know, how often you're able to talk with Reagan and Kaylin and Justine.
Yeah, but before I agreed to do this, I sat with all of them individually and then as a family and said, this is a big step for me. I'm going to be leaving my job at the university. I've been there for 20 years. You know, spent time with them, watched them grow through the club systems in soccer and volleyball and basketball. And they had a lot of, they were fortunate enough to have some wonderful people to be coaches with them, to teach them and learn. So I felt very confident in them. And both of my daughters said, Dad, go. You've been watching us travel around all over the Midwest playing all these games and stuff. Go do something. This is big. You know, it's a great opportunity. My wife had her blessings too. She just said, just be careful.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody tells me to be careful. I don't feel in danger at any point in time. The people here make you feel very safe. And then when you're in quarantine, you're really, really safe.
But yeah, right.
But it was with their blessing. Because if any one of those three people, the most important three people in my life, would have said no, then I probably wouldn't have come over.
Mm-hmm.
But no, those blessings. But I'm here. I think I've talked to my Justine probably every day, if not every other day. And then I keep track of the girls. They're, you know, away at college. So I'll call them and check in with them, see how volleyball is going for Kaylin at Cal PA, and then how, you know, Reagan's first semester went up at Bowling Green in cross country, and now I'm track and field. So it doesn't feel quite as distant because we're able to do that. We're able to share the holidays, you know, do the video calls on holidays and those things. So, you know, missing those things at times felt a little lonely, but I felt confident that they're so strong in what they do, and they're amazing young girls. And my wife does an amazing job teaching and at the school. So because of them, I have the confidence to be over here.
No doubt. And I mean, obviously I can personally attest to the wonderful family you have and them giving you the blessing to go do what you want to do and chase, a great opportunity is fantastic. So that's so great. You're able to, you know, that's the great thing too about social media. You're able to still kind of connect with people, even though you're half a world away, literally. So that's fantastic. So Todd, could you talk to us a little bit about the culture difference, the language barrier, things like that, that maybe, you know, someone here in Ohio might not generally think of? Like, what are some of the biggest differences or biggest challenges of an American? Now, you have had a little bit of a background going over there previously, but what are some of the biggest challenges of day-to-day life or communication or just basic day-to-day living?
Well, initially in China, referring to China, the language is so different. And the culture is very different also. The people are wonderful. They're friendly, especially when they see, and it's easy for them to recognize an American face. I stand out here. But the people are very friendly. And I've learned basic greetings and salutations. I can walk into the corner store and get a Diet Coke if I want to. That wasn't hard to learn. Now, many of them, especially the players on the team, they've traveled around and played in different leagues across Europe. So they know a fair amount of English. They can understand it a little bit better than they speak it. And now, 5 months into it, we all speak pretty much English most of the time. I want to learn more Chinese. So it's not helping me learn more Chinese.
All right.
But they want to learn more English.
Mm-hmm.
So now where maybe the first month it was challenging, with some of the girls, not all of them, some of them getting through, I can go in. I don't use the translator anymore, and because that was part of the deal. The translator was able to correspond, but they understand me very well, and I understand them very well. Some of them now speak very good English.
Awesome.
They understand what we're doing now. Okay. That was the Chinese part. We also spent 5 months in Russia. They speak another different language. So when I was in Russia, there were times there, and there are other North Americans with us. So it's not like I'm the only North American here. And that's a comfort too, to be able to converse that way. But many days you go through and you're either hearing Russian or you're hearing Chinese. And then you're hearing both of them at the same time. So same way, I learned some basic greetings and stuff from Russia to get around. Now, in Russia is a little bit different. European, and Moscow is a large city, so there are a lot of English speakers there. So shortly after you meet somebody, you ask English, and right away they switch over to English.
Okay.
Mostly broken English, but they speak it.
Sure.
So it was much easier to navigate through Moscow than, let's say, Beijing.
Okay.
But the language barrier. I had some level of comfort having been to China before, so I wasn't so blown away by it. But it's not that difficult. It's amazing what these things can do. As far as I want this and I want that,
right? Okay, yeah, a lot of body language, I'm sure, or facial expressions are good keys or good indicators. That's great. So Todd, you've been an athletic trainer previously at Youngstown State. I know with their basketball programs, and were you in other programs there at Youngstown State?
Oh, I was there for a while. I was involved in a lot of those programs. My first role at Youngstown State, where I was the head strength coach, so I worked with all 18 sports.
Oh, wow.
Simultaneously. So I worked with amongst all of them, and my primary duties from probably the first 8 or 9 years, I was with the YSU football team. Okay. That was my primary duties. And then my last 12 years, and I had men's basketball was my primary duty. Still worked with all the different sports. So that was kind of my background at YSU. And because I have two roles. I'm an athletic trainer, so I deal in sports medicine, but I'm also a strength coach, so I'm involved in the training and development. When my first 8 or 9 years, I was primarily a strength coach, and that was it. Once I moved to basketball, I became the strength coach and athletic trainer.
Sure.
Which is kind of a dual role that you don't see very often. but it was made it easy to communicate because the athletic trainer and the strength coach had to communicate, and it was really easy to say yes to myself all the time.
Right. Okay. So, you know, training football players and basketball players, and, you know, you had mentioned 18 other sports you were involved in at Youngstown State. So you have a wealth of knowledge with different muscles and different, you know, body types and things like that. So how is it now training hockey and female hockey players that maybe you don't quite have 100% language? You know, we had talked about the language barrier, but for the most part, you understand them. How is that different, or how is that the same?
Well, this is the first time I've worked with hockey.
Okay.
Youngstown did not have hockey. And although I did a few hours with the Youngstown Phantoms, not many. I knew very little about hockey. So one of the things I had to do is understand the game and understand the demands of what they do, because running up and down a basketball court or a football field or a soccer field is a lot different than skating, because your foot's not in contact with the ground. So you've had to kind of reconsider maybe some of the things that I had previously used, you know, through the other sports, because now it's got to translate somehow to the ice. So that was different. And that was a new challenge for me. At the end of the day, they're the same muscles. Your biceps is still your biceps. Your hamstrings are still your hamstrings. And we know how to train those from the weight room standpoint. So that doesn't change a lot. There may be some things that can be more hockey related than they are basketball or football related. But at the end of the day, the training programs aren't that different. And then as far as, you know, the conditioning part of it, when you're on the ice is the only time you're really getting the ice conditioning. And that's hard to really emulate or imitate off the ice and dry land. So really you pay attention to the time frames. And I had to learn hockey, the game of hockey, to understand the whole concept of shifts and how long they're on the ice for. And how intense that has to be. So that's how I brought it into the dry land training and weight room training, is I paid attention to the time frames that they work in the game.
Okay.
And so that helped me understand how to work with hockey. But the girls have been tremendous to work with. They're very dutiful. If you tell them to do something, they're going to do exactly that. Which is wonderful.
Yeah, right.
But sometimes if you tell them, okay, I want you to do 3 sets of 10 of an exercise, they'll do exactly 3 sets of 10. And if you don't change the weight for them and put on more weight, they're just going to do 3 sets of 10 with whatever weight's on the bar. So that took a little bit of coaching to get them to understand load and intensity to go through, but they did a wonderful job training. They've done a great job. So just the overall experience, having worked with so many different sports before and the different coaches, and each coach wants something that's sport specific to their time. So I had to learn, you know, what hockey coaches are looking for, what hockey players are looking for, so I could give them a program, number one, that they understood, number two, that they were willing to perform and really kind of invested in the program. And that was probably the biggest challenge, but that was, you know, that was a challenge that I wanted, that, you know, something new, something fresh.
Absolutely. That's great. So Todd, what is the typical age range of Olympic hockey players on the female side?
Our age range, our youngest player is 19.
Okay.
Our oldest player is 34.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you do have a pretty wide gap there.
Most of the players range from 24 to 28 years old.
Okay.
That's the most common age range. that we have. And many of them, they've been playing hockey, I don't know, since they were in their teens. Now, hockey isn't a prevalent sport in China. So it doesn't have a very well-developed, farm system, doesn't have a very well-developed youth system coming up. So where in the U.S. and Canada, we have a pretty well-developed program of, taking youth hockey players, we're talking, 10 years younger, and developing them. Here in China, they don't really have that. And that's what they're trying to develop, moving forward. So the 19 and even the 25-year-old here on our teams probably don't have the experience of a 16-year-old in the U.S. or Canada.
Interesting. Okay. All right. But that's pretty cool, though. So you can still see, a lot of growth and development, and maybe, not knowing the sport as well, you can still see their development on the ice as well as off the ice in the strength and conditioning program. That's pretty cool. You get kind of the full realm, and you've gotten to know these girls now for what you said, you've been there since June. So roughly 6-7 months now. So have you seen a big change?
Yeah, yes. A change in their confidence level, I think, number one. Changing their strength, their speed. Those are side effects of training that happen in any sport. And I expected to see that. Mm-hmm. But to see their confidence, to see their understanding of why we do things. I'm not sure, even training wise, from a lifting standpoint, they knew the exercises. They had pretty good technique, but they never really, I don't think, understood why they were doing certain things. And that was part of my plan, is to teach them why we're doing these things. And then that gives an athlete ownership if they understand why. So just in that, now when we go into the weight room, I don't have to direct every single thing that they do. They know what we're doing. They know why we're doing it. And then when we add new exercises or new routines, they adapt to them really quickly because now they understand why we're doing it.
That's fantastic. So not just a coach, but a teacher as well. So those girls will be able to take a lot of life lessons going forward. And like you said, take those techniques with them moving forward. Todd, let me ask you this random question, non-sports question, non-hockey, non-training question. What's the your go-to food over in China? And so two-part question. What's your favorite thing or go-to food over there? And what's the most interesting food or thing you've seen over in China?
This trip, the food hasn't been quite as interesting.
Okay.
They maintain a pretty regimented diet. It's pretty much the same type of food all of the time. There's not a huge variety. They have dedicated chefs for the team.
Okay.
So the food's kind of the same. It gets a little bit boring for me, but nothing really exotic to this point. Now they eat a couple of things that we don't normally eat. Like yesterday for lunch, I had octopus.
Oh.
It's kind of like an oyster, maybe. I don't know, chewy, fishy yeah. taste, but. But that's not really that exotic. That's relatively common. My go-to food here is they just call it noodles. I'm sure there's some Chinese name for it.
Okay.
But it's like a soup with really long egg noodles in it, and the broth in it's really good. So anytime anybody offers up noodles, I'll go for the noodles.
Okay. Sounds good. Yeah, that's always a safe option. That's probably a good go-to. Todd, let me just get you out of here on a couple more questions before we go. So what are you most looking forward to in these Olympic Games that are coming up?
When we go to the Olympic Village, move in, because they mention it on TV a lot. I'm anxious to see it, to see the teams from different countries and see how, walking around. We're going to walk around with these high-profile athletes from all over the world. that's going to be, you know, so that's exciting for me just to see that. But really the thing I'm looking forward to, the opening ceremony.
Yes. That would be great.
That's one thing, even in America, where, you know, typically we watch the opening ceremonies and the pomp and circumstance behind it and the show and the walking in of the teams and all of that. That's what I'm looking forward to.
That's fantastic. Are you going to try to, and I don't know if this is even allowed, are you going to try to maybe check out some different sporting events while you're over there? Or, you know, again, I don't know what your schedule will allow, but are you looking forward to checking anything else out while you're there?
Yeah, any opportunity that that I can get to watch other sports, I'm going to take that chance. It's spread out because the winter sports, you have the mountain sports, the skiing that comes down. Mm-hmm. Then you have the indoor sports, the skating events. So I'm going to try to get there. I'm not sure. And mostly I'm not sure because of COVID and
sure.
restrictions. So we'll probably find out when we get to the village what we're allowed to do. But I think because they're going to put it in a bubble system.
Mm-hmm.
That as long as we maintain that bubble, I should be able to go see the one event I want to go watch is speed skating or the short track. And watching those on TV where they fly around.
Oh my gosh!
I want to go watch that in person just to see what that is. And I wouldn't mind seeing some of the downhill stuff. It's not something I've ever been around a whole bunch other than watching it on TV. I imagine it's pretty spectacular in person. So. Yeah, I'd like to go see that. You know, maybe something like a bobsled or a luge, but I'm not sure how much you actually see when you're right there because they're going to come flying by you at 9 miles
right.
per hour for 2 seconds. I'm going to try to get to speed skating. I know that based upon our schedule now, we have played 2 games back to back, and we have an off day, and then we play another 2 games back to back. On that off day, USA and Canada play in women's hockey. So I might go watch that. But yeah, hopefully I get a chance to move around, but we're not going to be sure of that until we get there to the village and what those rules are.
No doubt. Okay. And you said it is a bubble system. Are they allowing fans or no fans?
No fans from outside the mainland.
Okay.
So there'll be fans there, but there won't be like an international contingency of fans.
Okay. That makes sense. That was very similar to, I believe, the summer games that just took place last year as well. So, Todd, I can't thank you enough for doing this. You know, I know it's probably, what, about 10:30 over there, and it's about 9:30 here in Ohio. So, again, I appreciate you taking so much time. I know you're looking forward to these games, but I'm sure you're really looking forward to coming home. So any final messages you want to send to family, friends that might be watching this, you know, in the next couple of weeks?
Well, one of the questions that I get when I've gotten messages from friends, they always want to say, well, did you see the Great Wall? The answer is yes, because where we're at now in Tianjin in the mountains, I look out my window and I'm looking at the Great Wall.
Oh, wow.
It's right there. So, yeah, I've seen it. It's there. It's really spectacular. Since we've been in this quarantine here, we haven't been able to go out to go up to the wall, but I can look at it. It's in the mountains, so I don't know exactly how far it is away, but it looks pretty darn close. But that's pretty spectacular.
Is it as spectacular to see as you would imagine?
Oh yeah, just the they build it in the mountains. It's on the top of a mountain, and it's steep, and they have the parapets. Probably every three-quarter mile, there's a parapet, so it literally looks like a castle wall that's going through the mountains. Previously, I'd been to another section of the wall and actually got to walk on that part of it. And when you're up there in the mountains, you hear nothing. You hear the wind. Occasionally, you hear a bird, and it's just still.
Wow.
And you're just looking out over the mountains. So it's pretty spectacular. Yeah. So yes, anybody that wants to know, yeah, I see the great loss. I'll see you tomorrow morning when I go over to the rink. So.
Oh, fantastic. What a view every day, Ben, just getting to check that out.
Yeah. And the other question, they said, well, how was quarantine? Well, from arriving in June, I've spent locked inside a room quarantine 39 days.
Wow.
You know, we had 28 days at the beginning and another 11 here recently once we came back from Russia to here. So that, you know, that's not fun. And they don't mess around. Yeah, when you're in a room, you don't have much contact. Now, like I said, we go to practice together and we go to lifting together. But outside of that, we don't congregate we're in a dormitory essentially now. Okay. You don't congregate. You go into your room and you're here. And the people, the staff here have been very friendly, but they're in full hazmat suits. And they walk around and they spray disinfect it all over the place. 2 or 3 times a day.
Wow.
I
was just going to say, that sounds like a scene out of a movie. It literally does.
Well, if you want to pick a movie, and this is a little bit cheesy, I guess. If you wanted to pick a movie, remember in Monsters, Inc.?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they had the child alert because there was a child and all those people rushed out in hazmat suits. Yeah. That's literally what it looks like.
Interesting. That's a good analogy. Okay. Okay. Wow. I can only imagine, the day-to-day life over there. And it sounds like you're making the most of it though. And this should be a great, great experience. And I know your family's looking forward to having you home. But Todd, we just want to say thank you for taking the time and joining us. And we'll get this interview out soon and hopefully everyone can listen to it and check in on you. And, so just, I guess on behalf of myself and everyone else, stay healthy and enjoy the rest of your time over in China.
Yeah, thanks so much again for reaching out. It's good to hear a familiar voice and see a familiar face. And it's getting close for me. The Olympics is getting close and even so, coming home. I'm looking forward to coming home. One of the things I miss the most, and I told this to my daughter, Kaylin, the other day. She goes, what do you miss the most? I said, well, obviously I miss you guys. And she goes, no, of the daily life, what do you miss the most? I said, driving a car.
Okay.
Because here you're on a bus or you're in an airplane. And that's it.
Interesting. Yeah.
But just the freedom to get in your car and drive down the road. I miss that. And I'm not sure why I miss that, but and maybe it's the freedom of.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I miss that a lot.
Well, when you get home, hopefully your car is fully gassed up and ready to go. And you and maybe your family can take a nice long drive somewhere.
Yeah, we'll take a drive. I know Reagan will be running track this spring at Bowling Green, so we'll get to take some drives to watch her run. It'll be good to be back home. Good to be back around friends and family. And like I mentioned before, the people here have been wonderful. It's never been uncomfortable. They make you feel more than welcome, and they go above and beyond to make sure that you're comfortable here. Beyond the quarantine stuff.
Right. but I understandable, especially when you guys have been training this long, you want to keep everyone safe and healthy and ready to compete. So I guess that comes with good intent. So, well, Todd, again, thank you very much. We'll be looking for you in the opening ceremony. So, we'll keep an eye out for you. And again, best wishes to you and your squad over there. And keep in touch and best wishes and stay healthy.
Yep. Thank you so much. I'm looking forward to coming home.
Thanks, Todd. Good luck, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Goodbye.